Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. Super glad that you're here as usual. Life update, lots of fun, cool things. I'm mostly on a cloud nine feeling today because last night we got to go see Hamilton, which was which is here in Miami. And I love, love, love Hamilton, the musical. I think it's the most perfect piece of art ever. I think it's the most, it's the coolest musical. It's got the coolest music. And then the story, it's just this quote unquote ordinary dude, Alexander Hamilton. He's on the $10 bill. And I don't know, people just don't really know much about him until all of a sudden there's this musical that talks about his life and puts it to this really cool rap style music. And I mean, I don't need to tell you about Hamilton. It's been out for a long time, but I got to see it in Chicago. They had a residency in Chicago for a while. It's been, geez, I don't know how many years, 5, 7, 8 years ago. I don't know, but I got to go see it and I was just completely blown away. And then the traveling show came to Minneapolis a year or two later, and you had to win a lottery to get tickets, and my sister got tickets. And so I got to go to see it again. Phenomenal. And then they filmed it and it was on Disney Plus, and I watched it on Disney Plus, which was really great because you can actually understand a little bit of the music better and see everything up close. And then anyway, it came to Miami, and a group of friends and us went last night, and it was just phenomenal. Now, we were late, and so I didn't handle that well, to be frank. It's spring break on Miami Beach, and last year during spring break, there were, I don't know, a dozen shootings. There was some looting. There was mob behavior. I mean, apparently it's just complete chaos down on South Beach, and I don't know because I don't go there. I don't go down there. I certainly never go down that direction in the evening during this time of year because of the crowds, but this year they have just become militant about stopping the chaos. So they've got sober checkpoints. They have a lot of the roads blocked. They have a curfew from midnight to 6. And then on the causeways coming into Miami Beach off the mainland, they're pulling up the drawbridges and just doing all these things, trying to get the word out and to keep people, bad behaving people, off of Miami Beach. So that's great and stuff. However, we needed to go to Hamilton and everybody else who lives here needed to live their lives. So the show was at 8 and I worked, and then we were going to grab an Uber. Roy and me grab an Uber and meet our friends downtown. So it's about a 20-minute drive in normal circumstances. So 6:45, we ordered our Uber, went across the street to the gas station to get some snacks to put in my purse because, sidebar, Thursday night we went down to the same area and we went to a show, a retelling, a reimagining of Cabaret, which I never knew anything about Cabaret. I've heard that it's a Broadway show, but this was some kind of a reimagining of it. They had a special deal, $25 tickets on one day. I don't remember. And so a whole bunch of us got tickets to Cabaret, $25. Well, it was terrible. And insult to injury, we were starving when we got there. And so we got some snacks at the little concession stand. It was $45 for a sandwich and some chips and a bottled water. And I forgot what else. But this time for Hamilton, I'm like, no, we're going to go to the mobile station and we're going to get the snacks, put them in my bag and be prepared. So we're across the street at the gas station at 6:45. Our Uber says that it's 4 minutes away. We look at the map. It's sitting 1.4 miles away. 10 minutes go by. We look and it's still in the same place and it still says 4 minutes. So clearly something weird is going on. So Tried to text, tried to call, no answer. The Uber is not talking to us, which really pissed Roy off because there was clearly a roadblock or something going on or a checkpoint because of the spring break stuff. And so we went back across the street and I said, let's just order a different one. Maybe he got stuck in traffic. Maybe we'll find one coming from the north instead of the south. So we did. So we order a Lyft. We see, you know, 8 minutes. The map little car guy is coming south toward us. 2 minutes away, 1 minute away, then 2 minutes away, 4 minutes away. It had passed the turn to come to our street to pick us up. So we're like, what the heck's going on? Why did it go past? So we see that going further and further and further away. So by this time, there are other people in our lobby who are also frustrated waiting for Ubers where they're going past us. The numbers are going higher is how long it's going to be. And I'm just freaking out because the show starts at 8:00. There's probably traffic there. I am obsessed with this show and Roy has never seen it and I need him to see it. I need him to be in his chair. I need to watch his face. I need to make sure he loves it just like I do. And it's getting closer and closer to showtime. Our friends went earlier and got dinner. So they were safely there waiting for us, and being late is a character flaw anyway. So anyway, long story short, it was an hour before we finally got an Uber. We had an Uber and a Lyft app going on my phone and an Uber Lyft or an Uber app on Roy's phone. And we were just trying to see which one would get to us first. So finally a guy pulled up, we got in and I said, what is going on that all of the Ubers are taking so long? And he said, well, basically Miami Beach is on fire. I mean, not literally, but they had closed all the avenues and they had closed a whole bunch of the roads and had all these little detours. So anyway, so we get there. We are late. We missed about 20 minutes of the show, which just stressed me out. And then, of course, we go to sit down and we disturb everyone. But anyway, it was amazing. I love it so much. I love the history. I love how they make it an interesting story. I love King George. King George steals the show every time he's on the stage. And then my favorite part is the moment, you know, it's not to spoil anything, but when Alexander and Eliza, I love the way to sing her name, forgiveness, he takes her hand. It's just so beautiful. They're working through the unimaginable. Oh, it's so beautiful. Sobbing, ugly crying, everybody snot running down the faces. That part makes the whole entire play. So it's so perfect. So anyway, that was last night. I'm still riding the wave on that. Cabaret, like I said, Cabaret was so terrible. I can't even tell you. The word terrible is a small word. It needs to be in bold, all caps, underlined, italics, and about 17 exclamation points. It was terrible. For one thing, the director came out. We were there the first night, which I guess could explain why some of it was so terrible. I don't know. But the director came out on the stage to thank everyone for coming. And the stage was like, it was like the shape of like a dog bone. So at one end was the dressing room. So the actors were already there pretending to like be ready to go on. And then there was like a catwalk type stage in the middle. And anyway, I don't know. But the director came out. He was in sweatpants and a white t-shirt. He wasn't even dressed nice. He just looked like he came from cleaning out his garage and introduced the show. It was a 90-minute first act and then intermission, and then there was supposed to be 45 more minutes. So we're sitting there. The first song is fine, whatever. It's tedious. I don't really know what's going on. It's not good singing. It's all mediocre. The costumes look like they came out of someone's attic. Like, what's going on? This is theater? This is Miami musical theater? Anyway, it got worse and worse to where I just didn't even really know what was going on. The characters, the plot, you know, he loves her, she loves him, that girl's a call girl, he's this homosexual, there he's confused, she's pregnant, whose baby is it, what's happening? Oh, now somebody's got a swastika on their arm and now it's about the Third Reich. Is this a trampy musical or is this a Nazi musical? I don't know what's going on. But at intermission, I was worried that our friends were having a good time and we were the only ones hating this, because that's happened to me. I went to go see Alanis Morissette down on South Beach, and before she came on, John Baptiste opened and I was so confused. He was terrible. The music was weird. He just ran around like blowing a trumpet thing and he didn't really have, I didn't know what was going on. And all my friends were like, it's amazing. So I was worried that was what was happening here. But luckily we got out of the theater into the lobby for the intermission and our friends were all like, oh dear God, this is terrible. So all of us left except two. I have no idea why they stayed. I've never been more bored in my life and lost. So anyway, one really great night, one really lame night, but the company was amazing. My friends, I got to go out to something and see my friends twice in a couple of days, which is rare for me. So we're trying to do more of that. We're trying to do more of that, like living life, having fun thing that we used to do before we were just hustling and working all hours of day and night. And it's so much more fun to have fun. It's revolutionary. It's just, we get so tired. Our mornings start really early and the days are full. I am busier than I have ever been, ever in my life, and for sure in my journey as an entrepreneur. I have very, very rare little nuggets of time left in my days and in my evenings. And so it's great professionally. However, it's a little exhausting and I'm going to have to raise my rates because I can't fit more people in. And I'm going to have a little bit more of a premium on my time, which is kind of crazy to think about and also gives me massive amounts of anxiety. Like money in general just gives me anxiety. I read this book called Happy Money by Ken Honda, and that sort of helped for a minute. But in general, no, I just have horrible anxiety about money. So when you have anxiety about money, sidebar, this isn't what we're talking about, but basically your experiences with money as a child really inform how you feel about money as a grown up. And money in our house was scarce. There was a lot of anxiety, fear, crying, stress over money. And so even when I have money, I don't like to talk about money or think about it. I hate conversations about money. I hate all of the things about money. I'm working to change that. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. I used to work on changing that. Now I'm too busy working on all the other ways that I need to evolve to work on that. But it's so difficult for me. And my instinct is just to like throw it away at someone and be like, yeah, just take it. Don't give me anything. I don't want to talk about it. I'll just do it for free. And so I end up kind of screwing myself over a lot because I so am uncomfortable. And I'm sure there's a deep-rooted worthiness issue right here too. So, you know, I'll work on this. I'll figure this out. Then we'll do a podcast about it, okay? All right. Anyway, so it's really busy and it's great. And I have been enjoying a lot of new clients. I have had just new clients falling from the sky, which is amazing. I have been praying and manifesting opportunity to fall from the sky. And income and all of these things that that I would love, and it's happening. So it's lovely. I'm going to talk briefly. I was going to do an entire podcast about this. I recorded it and then I didn't like it, so I'm not publishing it. So it's going to go on the cutting room floor. But I'm going to talk for a moment about this idea of it's all relative. Because I spend now a lot of my days going from client to client to client with personal training work. And I see where each of these people show up for their workout. And I see what their thoughts and their viewpoint do to their success or failure in what they're trying to accomplish and their success or failure in kind of their whole health and wellness journey. I shouldn't say success or failure. Progress or stagnation is actually a better way to look at it. So, and they all of my clients have amazing, powerful, redeeming qualities. I love them all. I think they all work really, really hard. But there are clients where I will get frustrated to hear their limiting beliefs because I will have just been with somebody that has more limitations who pushes harder. And I wish to say, I would like to bring you with next time when I train this person because I'd like for you to see what a real limitation is and how this person is not letting it stop them while you have a stomach ache and therefore you don't want to work very hard again in the session, just like last week or 2 weeks ago when you were tired or 3 weeks ago when you had something on your mind. I've got someone with a real health condition who has chronic pain, who is still showing up to do workouts that are difficult and not complaining and not using an excuse. That is what I wish I could do. And I can't like do a podcast. This is why I'm not airing the one that I had done. It's just probably not a good idea for me to lay out, here's this client, here's their strengths, here's their limitations, here's what they're fighting through, and lay them out in comparison. Because it's not about you versus someone else. It's always you versus you. But it's so important to think about that relativity, to say, I have a limitation. So many of us do have a physical limitation. We cannot do something. It's not rare that we have a limitation. I have a hip that is really wonky. It gives me a lot of pain. It's getting worse as I get older, as I run marathons. And it gets difficult sometimes to want to go do a leg day because I don't know if it's going to be aching in the middle of the night or throbbing as I'm trying to teach my classes. And it's easy for me to then take it really easy because I have this limitation. But then I'll train someone like my new client, Tara. She broke her foot. She broke her ankle. She sprained it and broke it. So she's in a cast covering her entire foot all the way up to her knee. And she is determined not to spend the next up to 4 months while this is an issue, just sitting around resting on her laurels, getting out of shape. So she's hired me to train her upper body and core to the best of our ability, to work on her other leg, to work on strengthening her glutes, and anything that we can possibly do while her leg is in a cast. So she shows up to the gym on one of those little scooters for her leg. She hops around the gym and moves from machine to machine. We work really, really hard on her upper body. And then the other day she was saying, I'm so frustrated, I can't do cardio. I was like, how about a one-legged burpee? And she did one-legged burpees. And I see that and I'm reminded, okay, Kristen, your hip is a little wonky, but it works. There's nothing wrong with the rest of you, the other 99% of you. That is the messaging that I feel like we all could take a moment and think about the relativity of what we can do and how it could all be taken away from us tomorrow. Anything could happen where we aren't able to move. And then we would wish to goodness that we had done everything we could to capitalize on the strength and the body that we do have. So Tara is an inspiration. I posted her on my Instagram. And then Lisa. Lisa is a client that I have at the spa that I work at. So Lisa lives in Canada and she is 70 years old. And I don't know all the circumstances, but she comes down to Florida January through the end of March. And she comes down here and she gets a lot of treatments for her condition of lymphedema. So lymphedema is basically a condition in your extremities, in her case, in her legs, where there's chronic inflammation and there isn't proper drainage in the lymph nodes. And her legs are 1.5 to 2 times their normal size with inflammation. And some people have this so extreme that their legs are 3 times the size and they're not mobile. But when she arrives in January, she has a really hard time getting around. Her legs are really, really large and swollen. She's overweight in general, but she's been working on losing weight and getting healthier for almost 2 years. But she's really, really concerned about getting injured. She had had a trainer that she felt like had pushed her too far, heavier weights than she liked, and she got injured. And so she is still very angry about this. And so she comes to the Carillon and she wants to train twice a week, but she wants light weights, really safe movements. So when I first met her, she came to the fitness floor and her legs were wrapped in compression bandages. She couldn't get shoes on. Her feet were too large. Her legs were too large. And so I wasn't really sure what she was capable of. Sarah trains her on Tuesdays and I was given her to train on Fridays. And Sarah's trained her for a long time. So she gave me a little primer. Like, she's really positive. She just likes to do things, easy things she can do. So I was just shocked. She walks, you know, with just bandaged legs over to the treadmill at 1.5 miles an hour and just starts walking on the treadmill and saying, I'm getting healthier and stronger every day. I just like to do things that make me feel good. And anyway, I was really impressed. But we did our workout and she was really tied to the idea of 3-pound weights and 2.5 pound weights, and that was it. And so the first few times I trained her, I was just a little bored. Like, you know, this is boring. She could do more, but she doesn't want to. And it's, you know, I'll run her through this, but it was just felt, it was a bummer to me because it just felt like we weren't going to get anywhere. Well, week by week, she showed up and her legs were, the swelling was coming down. She has doctors here. She does lymphatic massage. She has a dietitian here that gets her on a diet that helps reduce the inflammation. And soon enough, she was wearing shoes with compression garments. Well, I was bored and I don't like being bored. So I thought, I wonder if there's a way I can back around the other side of this whole thing and get her to do a few different things that would not hurt her, but would help get her in better shape a little bit faster. So I just kind of developed a rapport with her to say, hey, I'm going to show you something and you tell me if you think it looks like fun. Because she wants to do movements that are fun. So I just would, you know, instead of a squat, I would have her just sit, stand, which I have a lot of clients do. It's actually harder than you think to just sit and stand quickly from a bench. And then I had her do some push-ups on a bar. And I had her do, instead of 3 pound weights, I said, well, this is a 6 pound ball. It's like holding 2 3 pound weights. So that made her comfortable. And pretty soon she and I were having some pretty good workouts. But there was this one day I was going to train her and I was sending a message to Amanda on my Marco, kind of whining like, ugh, I have to go to the Carillon and train Lisa. And I'm, you know, I'm bored of just these lightweights and stuff. And I don't know how to challenge her. And I don't really know. Like, I just feel like I'm not doing anything right. And so then I went in there to train her and I had gotten her to stand on a Bosu ball against a wall to work on her balance, which was actually phenomenal because she did it and she started doing squats on a Bosu ball, which is hard for all humans. And here she is with swollen legs, able to balance on this Bosu ball. So as she's doing it, this is amazing, Lisa. I'm so proud of you. This is really difficult and you're doing this. This is next level. And she said, I just love working out with you. I consider every moment here just precious like gold. I don't count my wealth and money. I count it in moments with you. And I was like, I'm a jerk, I'm a jerk, I'm a jerk. I was complaining all the way here. And now this beautiful, sweet soul loves me. And I was thoroughly chastised in my spirit. So, but that changed everything. For me, I thought, who cares if it's 3 pounds or 6 pounds? This woman is loving movement and she's showing up and she's doing everything that she can and she's losing weight slowly and safely on her terms and she is happy. This is the most positive, smiley woman I have ever met. She loves working out. She thinks it's so fun. And she has me video everything because she sends it to her friends to prove she's working out. So she always wants me to do a video and then she explains what we're doing and then shows off doing it, which makes it fun for her. So anyway, long story. Last week, I was training her and I got her on the Bosu ball. And the only place to do it against a wall was over in a corner in front of a mirrored wall. So I pushed it up in the corner so she could hold onto the wall and she got up on the ball and started doing her squats. And she was doing it in front of the mirror and looking at herself and kind of doing this fun little, like this movement with her hands, like she was squatting down and scaring herself like, ooh, and then laughing and smiling. And she lost herself in the movement of squatting and like she was playing a little game with herself in the mirror. It was so adorable. She was having the best time. She's working up a sweat and having so much fun. And it was so inspiring to me. This woman is dealing with a chronic disease, a chronic issue that makes her slower, makes it hard for her to lose weight, makes it hard for her to get around. And here she is having fun and moving. She didn't care what she looked like. She didn't care what other people were doing. She was lost in the moment and so proud of herself. And she stepped off that Bosu and I looked at her and I said, Lisa, you really love yourself, don't you? And she stood tall and looked at herself in the mirror and turned to the side and said, what's not to love? Look at me. I'm getting healthier. I'm stronger. I've lost 12 pounds since I've been here. Look at me. What's not to love? And I burst into tears. It was so beautiful to see this 70-year-old woman She didn't see her excess weight. She didn't see her swollen legs. She saw a woman that she was proud of and that she loved and that she delighted in. And that person was her. And all the time that I had been training her up until this moment, I'd been standing in front of that mirror and I'd been seeing myself. And you know what I was saying to myself? Ugh, you really need to cut those carbs. Ugh, you really got to lift heavier. Your arms are too soft. Ugh, ugh, your butt, it's still not as perky as it needs to be. You think you're a trainer? You aren't doing a good job. I was standing there with this horrible criticism for myself next to my client who has conditions that I don't even know how challenging they are, in love with movement, in love with herself. And I was schooled on what self-love really means. And I saw it and it was stunning. And she wasn't putting down anybody when she said, "What's not to love? Look at me." That's not arrogant. That's not conceit. That's not comparing herself to someone else and saying, "I'm better." That's her looking in the mirror and being so, so proud of her own self. And that is power. That is energy. That is life. It's what's brought her every single week to these sessions to get healthier and healthier, stronger and stronger, as she says. And everyone can take a lesson from that. You gotta love yourself now. You gotta love yourself so much that every little bit of effort that you put in delights you. That it's not just enough, but that it's everything. And that you are worth investing in because you're delightful to you. And of course, to everyone else, I am so delighted by this woman now. I am so inspired by her, and I'm telling everyone I can. I'm showing her the video of this, I'm showing everyone that I can find the video of this. I posted it on my Instagram. I shared it with my group coaching program to say this is goals. To be able to say, I'm not where I want to be. She wants to continue to lose weight. She needs to continue to get healthier. These are habits and things she can never set down because of this condition. But she's not thinking about how far she has to go. She's exhilarated in the journey and in the now. So take a listen from Miss Lisa. She's just phenomenal. So being a personal trainer is really, really fun. And I'm finding so much joy in it. I've been a trainer for years, but I've never had this many clients. I've never been this busy. I've never spent this many hours of every single day training clients. And it's just such a joy and such a learning experience. Just remember, when it comes to you and your body, you got to start where you are today. You must proactively take time to build a stronger, more healthy body, or left to its own devices, it decays. It starts to deteriorate. It's like a fancy car. If you leave it sitting and don't use it, don't take care of it, it will rust out on you. It will degrade. Our bodies are degradable, but we can inform every single cell. We can inform our muscles. We can inform our mind that it is not time to decay. It is time to be stronger than yesterday. Ask more of your body from a place of love and acceptance to say, look what I can do. Now I am going to require myself to do this again. And what more can I bring to the table? Movement is a gift. Roy broke his foot a few weeks ago. He was on crutches for a couple weeks. Now he's in a boot. He still can't do everything that he wants to do. Slowed him down. Really, really tough. And that's just a little broken toe. It's like the fifth metatarsal or something. And, you know, dreading a run on a weekend morning. Now it's, oh man, I wish I could go for a run. We don't know when these things are taken from us or when we could hurt ourselves and not be able to do the things that we love. So fall in love with movement. Do it because you love you, and accept, radically accept and love yourself right now, where you're starting or where you are. What's the difference between therapy and life coaching? Well, I'll tell you, I'm not a therapist. Therapy, in my analogy-filled mind, is like being in a garden, the garden representing your life, and finding weeds, pulling them, and examining the roots. How did these get here? How big are they? How long have they been here? Who planted them, etc. And that's an important process to kind of clean up the garden of our lives. But it can be tiring and we can get covered in dirt. Life coaching is like saying, I'm living in this garden and I want to be surrounded by pink flowers here, yellow flowers here, and a bird bath. And it's about taking the time to plant those seeds, to ready the soil, to plant the seeds, and to water them. So life coaching is a great way to kind of pivot away from talk therapy for a little while, or do it in conjunction. It's positive, it's empowering, and it's focused on you now and you in the future. All about you. Nobody else gets to plant in your garden. Nobody else is invited there. It's you and what you want. So I love the opportunity to help my life coaching clients dream and then decide which dream gets planted now and how we're going to water it. Accountability to make sure that those things are implemented so that those flowers bloom and you get to reach your goals and experience those things in life you maybe have been putting off for a better time. The time is now. Life coaching is super fun and I'm really good at it and I love it. So I would love the opportunity to talk to you. We can do a call to see if life coaching serves you. You can email me, Kristen, at kristensmithonline.com. We'll set up a time for an exploratory call and see if life coaching is something that will work for you. Conquering boring things makes your life excellent. The top performers around you are masters of doing the boring things and getting over it. The bottom line is you are excellent. You are worth the effort it takes to get better at the art of living your life. If you want more, it's waiting for you. And one way to frame it is to come to terms with the boring stuff. Boring things are inevitable, but avoiding boring things, the things you know you need to do, it adds a lot of stress and it adds a feeling of frustration to being surrounded by things you should be doing and are not. There's nothing worse than a to-do list that is not checked off. There's nothing worse than thinking, I had to get all this stuff done, I didn't do it, wake up in the morning, messy house, things not done, didn't work out yesterday, didn't grocery shop. You're not set up to live your best life. It's because we avoid the boring things, we make excuses, we put them off. How have we helped ourselves? You might say, oh, but I hate working out. I don't want to work out. I get it. Does that mean that you can just get away with not doing it? No. What happens? Our bodies get out of shape. Everything becomes harder. We haven't helped ourselves by letting the fact we don't like something stop us from doing the thing. We have to come to terms with it. We have to find a way to do it, all the boring things. I don't like paying bills. I don't like brushing my teeth sometimes. I do it anyway. Do you know how annoying it is to me that I have to brush my teeth in the morning before I have my coffee? I want to get up, get my electrolytes in so I can quickly get my coffee in. But I got to brush my teeth before I do those things. It's so annoying. I hate it. I also have to put on socks because there's always sand on the floor. Sidebar. Anyway. Some people I talk to working on nutrition. I don't like grocery shopping. I don't like thinking about meals. I know. But when you get from Sunday to Saturday and I say, how did your nutrition go? And I hear, well, I didn't have anything food prepped. And so I went out to dinner on Wednesday night and I didn't follow my plan. And then Thursday I overslept. I didn't grab my lunch. I had to eat out. I didn't have anything ready to go. I didn't stick to my plan. I gained weight this week. This is what happens when we take the fact that we hate food prepping, we hate thinking about meals, and we let that determine if we do or do not do it. How we feel about those inevitable things should not play into whether we do it or not. It's called being a grown-up. And it's not fun, I understand. But if we can just come to terms with this, we're going to reach our goals. We're going to be healthier. We're going to be happier in our own lives. Sometimes I decided I'm going to practice my Spanish every day, and I've done a pretty good job. Sometimes I'm too tired. I'm like, I'm too tired. I don't want to do it. But if my bestie sends me a Marco, somebody sends me a funny meme, a client texts me, all of a sudden I have newfound energy. And I prioritize my friends or the fun or the work, not the thing that I said I would do. So, right there, priorities if I can do all those other things, I can jump on, do my Spanish lesson for 10 minutes. Priorities dictate the quality of your life. And the quality of your life dictates how you feel about your life. How you feel about your life empowers you to get more, do more, be more. How you feel about your life is energy. Priorities are the reason why you have energy for your life. And when you prioritize the boring things, it turns into a better life. See how we did all that? It's so true. Okay, can you come to terms with the fact that things need to be done and find a way to do them in your day non-punitively? Can you simply keep the sink clear of dishes? Can you simply keep your workout clothes ready to go so when you wake up in the morning, it's all set up for you? Can you make it a practice on Sundays you grocery shop and food prep? Can you make it a part of your routine in such a way that it's just part of your life? If you have managed to figure out how to get to your job 5 days a week on time, you can figure out how to do these other things. It's priorities. So some tips and tricks for this with the dishes. So I've talked about this before on the podcast. I like the idea of making things an identity statement. This is really powerful. So for example, if you were a vegan, which I don't recommend you be a vegan, but if you were a vegan, you wouldn't say, oh man, I don't know if I can have that bacon. No, you would just be like, I'm not a person who eats bacon. You wouldn't grapple with it. You wouldn't think about it. It's just something you wouldn't eat, period. When you get in the car, are you a criminal? No. So you stop at red lights because you're not a criminal, because you're somebody who is a safe driver. I'm a safe driver. I go the speed limit sometimes. I stop at red lights. So I'm not a person who goes to bed with dirty dishes, period. I made that statement years ago when I first got my first apartment after I had gotten divorced. I was recovering from living with somebody that had OCD, and I was so excited to not have to clean everything up the minute I got done touching it that I turned into a total slob. And it got to the point where I hated waking up in the morning and seeing a messy kitchen, and I was just not doing my dishes, and I was being a total lazy person. So I made an identity statement. I'm not a person who goes to bed with dirty dishes in the sink. So every night I would make sure there were no dishes. And I would say that I'm not a person who goes to bed with dirty dishes. And so if I was ever tempted to just leave one, that would ring in my head. And it stuck up until the point that Roy moved in. And Roy sometimes is a person who goes to bed with dirty dishes. So sometimes his dirty dishes are in there, but they're not mine. So it doesn't count. But anyway, make it an identity statement. I'm a person who works out 5 times a week or 3 times a week. I'm a person who food preps. I food prep every Sunday. I love it. You can even add, I love it. Tell yourself you love it. Add that affirmation to it. I'm a person who moves my body. I'm a person who eats healthy food. I'm a healthy eater. Think about a year from now when somebody compliments your healthy glow and your great physique. How did you do it? Oh, I work out and I eat clean and healthy. Try it on and then make it your reality. Another thought with laundry. So I don't do laundry, so this doesn't apply to me now. Roy does all the laundry. But when I used to do the laundry, I had a thing where I didn't pull it out of the dryer unless I was ready to fold it. And so if I knew I needed clothes tomorrow, I had to pull it out and fold it. And I would think, what if a TV crew showed up here in the morning when I first woke up? I would definitely not want there to be laundry sitting in a pile. I would make sure that there was clean clothes. And so I better do this now. What if a TV crew showed up? Everything would be put away. So you can tell yourself, what if a TV crew showed up? When I lived with Greg, he was OCD and it was super annoying, but our house was pristine at all times. I could have company. We could have people anytime. Anybody could walk in at any time, day or night, and everything was pristine. It was super great. It was super annoying to live with someone with OCD, but it was nice to have a clean house. These are things that you can just do one thing at a time. All right. When it comes to working out, a couple of hints and tips and tricks. Music. Good music. It's really, really interesting how the vibe at our fit camp changes depending on the music. And I often have a hard time finding a good playlist because I repeat the same ones. But when I hit on a good playlist, the workout is a different animal. People have smiles on their faces. People make the moves more poppy, more intense. People are having fun. They're laughing. They're smiling. So when you have to do an annoying task in your house, or if you are working out on your own, make sure you have good music. Competition. Set a timer. Race against someone else. Beat your last time. One thing Roy and I have done a few times is when we know that we've got some tasks to do and we're exhausted, we'll say 20 minutes. Let's set a timer for 20 minutes. Let's get as much done as we can in 20 minutes, and then we'll be done. And it's fascinating because often we'll get a lot more done in that 20 minutes than we thought that we could, or we'll kind of extend that a little bit and just finish it up. So that's one way to make the mundane interesting. Set a timer. You can also race against someone else. Someone else in your house, maybe dump 2 piles of laundry. Whoever's done first wins. My sister and I did that when we were little. Anything to make it fun. Make things a game. At our workouts, we do partner workouts. We do competitions. We do things for time. It's interesting to see the work ethic increase when there's some kind of competition, when there's some reason to push a little bit more. Do that in your own life. How fast can you bang out that proposal for your job? How fast can you get the dishes done? How quickly can I write this workout? How fast can I get from point A to point B if I'm not scrolling on my phone? A scorecard. Create a scorecard. Log everything that you do in a day and give yourself a score. How well did I do this? How well did I show up? How prepared was I? Give yourself a score for the things that you've done. How well can I clean the kitchen? How well can I show up for this client? How attentive can I be to what I'm being told? How many of these people's names can I remember the first time? Make a scorecard for yourself. Counting. This is one I love. This is one my little nerdy accounting brain has done with a lot of things. If you're on a run, a lot of times I'll count my footsteps per minute. So I'll pull out my, my app that I'm using for my run, and I'll count my steps, or I'll count just my left strides. And then I will up my speed a little bit, and then I'll count my strides again. Distracts me. Super fun. In a workout, if you're doing something for time, how many reps can you get in a minute? We do a lot of things for time on the beach, and it's kind of fun to count your reps. Count how many times you open an app on your phone. Make a goal to not open that app during work hours. Doing things with counting and keeping track of things is often a great way to bring intention and to focus and to make meaningless things feel a little bit more meaningful. One thing that we do on the beach too is we do plank holds. On Sundays, we do plank circles. So everybody's in a plank. We're not really in a circle, but hold plank. And then everybody has to shout out something that they're grateful for. So it's a way to make the time go faster. And it's our little self-care routine. Not on Sundays, we'll do this and I will have them all shout out vegetables or fruits or ice cream flavors or favorite movies. And it gives us all something to think about and holler about while we are planking. So, good old distraction. And then my favorite thing is simply reward stacking. So when I first started lifting before my first competition, I started lifting in earnest in July. My show was the next May. So I had 10 months where I needed to get used to going to the gym 5 days a week and lifting. And in the beginning, it was boring because it was the basic things. It was squats and deadlifts, shoulder press machine, back machine. I mean, it's the basic movements to start building muscle. So I picked a series on Netflix and I would bring my phone with my headphones and I would like put my phone down on the floor next to the leg press machine. And I couldn't really watch, but it was usually something I'd seen before and I could listen. So that was my like mindless TV watching time. I would habit stack that I would reward stack it. Same with walking. I listened to a podcast or like something that I loved that I didn't otherwise have time for. Call a friend, bring a friend with me, something like that. Sometimes I'd hate to go to the gym. Didn't feel like it. So I'd put Netflix on in the house, put on, Selling Sunset and do a dumbbell based strength training session in my house. Still get the great lift in, but I made it bearable. So you can make these things bearable by adding some rewards to them. So Beyond that, it's just important to come to terms with the fact that not everything in life needs to be amazing. Your meals don't all need to be gourmet five-star things. You're feeding your body, you're fueling your body. And if you're a busy person who needs to get healthy, nutritious food in and have time for all the things, your food is not always going to be this insanely pleasurable thing. It's not really supposed to be. If you're good and hungry, good healthy food should taste good and we can move on. I have a lot of conversations with people who say, I don't know, I'm sick of everything that's good and healthy and I just want something fun and interesting. I get it. Variety is the spice of life, and it's not to say you can't have interesting and good things. But the processed foods out there, they're designed to be hyper palatable. And it has numbed our tastes. It's numbed our senses to want everything to be insanely delicious. And when we unprogram our taste buds by laying off that stuff, we can find really intense pleasure in real, whole, unprocessed foods. I just had a mango today for lunch. That was one of the most delicious things I've tasted in a long time. I don't know that I used to enjoy mango at all. But when we stop eating sugar and junk food and synthetic flavors, nature's foods begin to taste a lot better, a lot different. And if you're good and hungry, really good, whole, nutritious food sounds delicious. I've been implementing a fasting protocol into my life and into all of my group programs. I'm teaching it to all of my clients because it's been so revolutionary. Not just intermittent fasting willy-nilly, but fasting protocols. And so to get really good and hungry before I eat my first meal, it's so interesting how I'm so excited to eat my food. And it's very basic. Most of the time, my lunch is hard-boiled eggs, some kind of meat, maybe an apple with it. Very basic, but it's so delicious when you are really hungry. Fueling your body with nutritious, whole, real foods, it's delicious. It's not boring. You don't need a whole lot to be added when you're hungry and you honor that hunger with a real, delicious, nutritious food. So remember that. Same with other activities like working out. We don't have to have a strobe light, dimly lit, fancy schmancy studio experience in order to make working out exciting all the time. Having a walk in nature with a good friend or with some quiet time, try it out. If you haven't done that in a while, give it a try. Conversely, if you're like, I don't like group fitness, I just think it would be so boring to be told to sit on a bike for an hour. Have you tried it? Maybe variety is the thing that will keep you from feeling bored with those things. I know this isn't an exciting topic, but the most successful people in our world are people who have gotten to the point where they come to terms with the boring necessities of being a human and they do it. Whether they want to, whether they feel like it, whether they're motivated, whether they're inspired. People ask me all the time, how do you keep off your weight? How do you stay in shape? All of these things. Do the thing. And it's not always fun. I try to be very honest. I didn't want to work out. I didn't enjoy it. I got the thing done. Other times it's full of joy. Sometimes it is checking a box. Gratitude for the ability to do it. That I'm not crippled, that I'm not in a wheelchair, that I'm not sick, that I have all my limbs, that helps. But ultimately, we have to come to terms with the fact that we have to do some of these boring things in order to overcome that feeling of listlessness and in order for us to find more power in our daily lives, more energy, by showing up for ourselves, making ourselves proud, and living our best life. One boring thing at a time. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.